to another episode of the Double Comma Club with your host, Nicole Ruth of the Ruth Team, the number one lending team in Colorado.
So I'm going to start out this month's economic outlook with a Chinese proverb because it just spoke to me and it's so perfect. So when the wind of change blows, some people build walls and others build windmills. What are you doing with this year? Are you looking up and looking out and setting up some really amazing goals for yourself? Or are you looking down and so buried deep in your current business that all you're seeing is blocks to your continued success? Get out of that path and into the new one and make sure to continue to stay with us through these agenting nights. That was powerful for me when I saw that this morning. All right, so let's talk about the opportunities. Redfin came out with a study, and Redfin and Realtor.com and a number of them, Zillow, they all had their market reports each month, and I read all of them. And Redfin talked about the fact that, and we're seeing it here, and I want to show you some of those numbers here, but Redfin talked about the fact that the luxury market is on fire, right? So year-over-year sales, so units sold, was up 41.5% for the luxury. It was up 17% for the expensive. So how they broke this out, just so you know, the luxury is the top 5%. The most affordable is the bottom 5%, which we don't actually even have in the Denver market. I think there's like three homes and they're mobile homes on land. Most affordable is the luxury. And then the rest of the block is divided by three. And you get to expensive, medium, and affordable. And that's how Redfin does it. And they all do it a little bit differently. But they're looking at those luxury sales. If you go back to where we were at the beginning of 2020, we were already having a strong market. We had come off high interest rates at the end of 2018, where we started to see some inventory slid down into 19, where the first half of 19 was strong inventory, the interest rates were starting to come down, and then all of a sudden we dipped and turned a corner, and that lack of inventory picked up. We had the tail of two markets, if you guys remember, a lot of conversation going on, where the bottom half of the market was on fire, the top half of the market was sitting slumbering, right? That didn't happen now, because now we've scooped up all that, because the mindset of the buyer then was, I don't want that McMansion. I don't want that overhead or that maintenance. They were thinking they want optimized homes, high technology homes in semi-urban areas where they could go and experience whatever that was, the restaurants, the culture, right? So now all of a sudden enter into COVID, and you've got people rethinking what's most important to them. So the bigger homes where they could take some of those 5-6 bedrooms, convert them into second offices with a bigger backyard, has become more desirable. And with that desire, we've scooped up a lot of the luxury market that had been sitting there idle on inventory. So now that level of inventory matches the rest of our market. So those luxuries year over year sales is up substantially. And it's also up when you look at the median sales price. The median sales price for the expensive homes also increased the most. Now, if I take these top four, they're almost identical. They're within 0.9%. If I look at the most affordable, that's down at the bottom, and that's languishing, and I would just excuse that because we just simply don't do a lot of that in the Denver market. But this is great opportunity for continued success and certainly a great opportunity for those buyers that you have in that million-dollar market right now whose earnings have gone up, who can take advantage of the lower interest rates, who do have that secure job. Now, we have to talk to them realistically. When we're talking with our buyers, you can't excuse that part of the conversation. You need to ask them, how is your job stability? How is your job security? Because there are big companies that are going through layoffs. As we came out with the third quarter revenues, right, and enter into the fourth quarter, they're having to make some decisions based on their shareholders. So having that conversation is a real way you can be that advisor. Without getting knee deep into their financials, just asking them, can we look at all of your options? Because you were thinking you could afford this, but now you can afford this. And you might even have to offer more because there's multiple bids on $2.3 million homes, as crazy as that sounds. And the Denver market is seeing it too. We're continuing to see that these luxury homes are selling and they're selling fast. In fact, let me just throw out a couple of these DMAR stats. So a million plus, the closed homes were up 80% year over year. 750 to a million, the closed homes were up 79% year over year. So almost exactly the same. The 500 to 750 was up 48% year over year in the units sold. And the 300 to 500, and of course we don't measure below that because the inventory is so little, they were only up the closed homes 3%. And that's because of inventory. There wasn't enough inventory in those lower price points because it was already selling. It was already hot before COVID ever came in. It was a luxury market where we had that abundance of inventory before COVID that was getting peeled off. And if I look at these numbers, what really strikes me is the fact that the pending sales last month were up in the million plus 116%. 116%. So that is really setting you up for an incredible October. And October's demand, which we're going to see in a minute, is setting us up for even a strong November and December. We're going to continue to see this level of demand all the way through the end of the year. Now, I don't think the supply is going to be there through the end of the year. I think it's going to bounce back up against the supply. But right now, every home that we can, we're selling. In fact, we're scooping through any of those inventories that have been on the market maybe for several months is now actually selling. So this is something to continue to watch as we go through the holidays, because as real estate agents, as lenders, now is not the time to take off for the holidays. If you get my Saturday newsletter, you got the newsletter that the headline was, so don't decorate for the holidays yet, right? You can decorate, but don't go dormant, right? Because this is a time when your buyers and your, hopefully your sellers, but certainly your buyers, are out in the market and they're trying to stay busy. Because they're looking at their home right now. When COVID first started, they were looking at their home going, is this where I can homeschool my kid? Do I have enough office space for me and my spouse or whatever that looks like? Do I have a big enough backyard for my kids to play? Is this a place I feel safe? Was a big question mark as we were having the peaceful protests downtown, right? But now they're coming into the holidays and they're thinking, is this where I want to do Thanksgiving dinner? Is this where I want to make another year of memories opening up presents? Because I can't go away now, right? I can't go out of town and visit the family. I had Thanksgiving. The Thanksgiving is a holiday that my family does a big trip every year. And this year it got canceled and it broke my heart. But we were going to go up to Wisconsin and visit family. And right now the COVID cases is up in Wisconsin. And they said it doesn't make sense. Stay home. So now I'm looking at my house going, is this where I want to do Thanksgiving? And your clients are saying the same thing. So right now, lean into them and ask them, how are you doing? What are you thinking about going into the holidays? Is there anything I can do to help you assess the market? Maybe look at the value in your home, the equity in your home. These are opportunities for conversations, because I guarantee you, everybody that owns a home right now is questioning that. And maybe they're happy. And maybe they're saying, I am so glad I bought this home last month, because this is exactly where I want to spend the Thanksgiving holidays. But if I bought it 5 years ago, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not even if I bought it a year ago. So the unemployment numbers just came out this morning and it ticked up. And we need to continue to watch this. I have been talking for the last couple of weeks that I expect this to tick up. Meanwhile, I've been watching on the news saying that there's no way it's going to continue to go down. I don't know. That doesn't feel right to me. Of course, we'll see where the unemployment numbers go. But the week ending initial jobless claims ticked up. And in fact, it was the highest it had been since August 22nd, which is really not a fair assessment, because at the end of August, right here in this dip, is where they actually changed the model. So if I actually go back and I do this number based on the old model, it would be further back that I would have to compare it to. So this is actually quite a substantial tick up that we need to continue to watch. And it's being made up of the permanent job losses. So the temporary job losses are coming down and the permanent are slowly ticking up. That's going to impact your buyers, your sellers. Just be in conversation with them. There's nothing you can do to control it or fix it. All you can do is be that advisor, that friend, that companion for them while they're going through this change, ensuring that they know what options they have with their current home and what options they have with a new home. And that's the thing. And maybe it doesn't mean a transaction. Maybe it just means that you're there to support them on what's going on in the market. Maybe that they can feel confident and secure that their market is continuing to appreciate and do well, although maybe their job is at risk. Can they hold on to that home? What would that look like? Can they still go into forbearance? Can they hold on to it through the holidays or till they find another job in February? Those are the conversations that we can be having, because right now they're hyper-focused on their home. So make that the center of all of their conversations. Another one of the headlines, besides the job numbers coming out, is the fact that the delinquency rates are up, right? And that's fear, right? So if I'm thinking I might lose my job and I'm thinking the delinquencies are up, I'm going to start thinking that we're going to lose values. I'm going to hunker down. I might not make decisions that I thought I might be making, because I'm reading these headlines. Of course, this headlines as well as the ones that even from the DMAR stats came out. I mean, we were the top of everything, right? The most of any September on all of the metrics. Well, it became the most difficult or most challenging market to jump into as a buyer. Well, they're seeing that, and then they're seeing this. Well, maybe especially as sellers, they're hunkering down and they're not moving. because I don't want to move right now because I have all this equity and this low interest rate, and we might see a bust where the values come down, and I'm not willing to risk the equity I have now to go jump into something that might cost more, even though I'm paying less for it with the low interest rates, and take that gamble. But when in reality, the delinquency rates include the forbearances. So it's not real. That's not foreclosure. It's just delinquent. So we have to make sure that we distinguish this for our clients, because the delinquency rates are not foreclosure. They're forbearance. And those numbers of people that are going off on forbearance is growing, right? So more people are coming off forbearance. When they're talking about the delinquency numbers are going up, they're watching that under 30 days, the 30 to 60, over 90. And so that's increasing. And that's the number that jumps out on the headlines. Realistically, though, the number of mortgages in active forbearance is going down. Because remember, we started this in that March and April timeframe. Really, April was the first month that people could skip their mortgage payment with the forbearance, the CARES Act. So all of those people had up to 12 months that they could be on forbearance in a three-month cycle. So most servicers are offering it on every 3 months, and then at the end of 3 months, you can choose to extend it or you can come off of it. So when we hit the three-month mark, we saw a massive drop. Well, we just hit the six-month mark, and we saw a drop again. It dropped about 18%. So it was down 650,000 people got off of forbearance. And another 800,000 will hit their six-month mark, because remember, their 12 months starts whenever they got on the forbearance. It wasn't all in April. Their six-month mark for 800,000 people is next month. So we're going to see another drop as people, there in the beginning, there were 40% of the people that took forbearance continue to make their mortgage payment. They didn't need it. They just wanted to protect what they had, right? And so think about the psyche of this buyer who's currently on forbearance. Maybe they're not even making a mortgage payment. Only 9% of the people who are in forbearance right now have less than 10% equity. That's an incredibly low number. They have options, right? But if I'm on forbearance right now, maybe I'm one of those. Maybe I'm one of those 9% and I don't have even 10% equity. Maybe I have 1% or 2% or 3%. As a real estate agent, this is your opportunity to be that advisor for them, to talk to them, to maybe blast out to your database to go, are you on forbearance? Do you understand all of your options? I can help. Maybe it's just as simple as that, right? Helping them to determine how to get off of it, how long to stay on it, because every month it's a negative amortizing loan. So every month I don't make a mortgage payment, that amount goes to the end of the loan and I can defer it, I can make mortgage payments, I have options. It's a really beautiful thing the way it was set up eventually. It took a while to get there. You guys know that, anybody who's been listening to me, it was a madhouse mess in the beginning. But now it's set up where it gives them options. So their ability to make that decision when they come off of forbearance is theirs, right? They have up to a year. So if I'm in forbearance, maybe I'm one of those people and I only have 3-5% equity or maybe no equity, I'm not going to choose to make a decision today. I have up to a year. And right now I'm also looking at the holidays staring me in the face, and I have kids at home and I want to protect them and provide for them. So I'm going to have Thanksgiving, I'm going to have Halloween, and I'm going to have Christmas in my home. And then come January, I need to talk to somebody to help me list that home, because I need to catch that sale when I have enough equity that I can sell it and remain flush. See, this is where your expertise is so incredibly important. Can you help them assess what is their current principal? What's the current market value for that home? How much is being negatively amortized every month? And I can help with that. Right? And when is their break-even point? When might they tip over where now they can't sell it at market? Now they're going to have to go into a short sale or a foreclosure and wreck their credit and not be able to buy again. But if you can catch them before that happens, how much of a hero are you to them? Right? Think about that. Now all of a sudden, you're the only real estate agent they ever want to talk to again, and they're going to tell all their family and all their friends. And you can continue to serve. And you can continue to do what you do best and what gets you out of bed every morning and you're passionate about. So helping them make that assessment is going to be huge, because they do have the opportunity. And for anybody who's thinking that all of this, all these people in forbearance is going to cause all these foreclosures and the bottom's going to fall out and we're going to lose value, then they've got another thing coming, especially these massive cash industrial buy for rent, right? These ones that are coming in, buying up as many single family homes as they can to turn them into rentals. Well, the opportunity just isn't there. In fact, if every single Ginnie Mae loan, FHA, VA, and USDA, who is currently in forbearance on the exact same day, went into foreclosure and it all came out on the market at rock bottom prices, we would simply have just enough inventory. We would be back to par, not above, not having the heightened inventory that we had in 08. We would simply be at a meet demand amount of inventory. So it's not going to create a bust in our values. We're going to continue to go up. Now, will we go up slowly? If I look at forecasts of where prices are going to go up, this year is going to be phenomenal. Off the charts, United States, 6%. Remember, our historic average is 3.6%, so it's almost double. Next year, it's going to be good again. Then the following year, is it going to pull back slightly? It should if we start to meet demand with inventory, both builders and existing, because we have a ton of equity. I mean, 42% of all the homes in the United States don't even have a loan on them. I mean, that's crazy numbers. If I add the amount of people that have between 60 and 99% equity, that's 58.7% of all people have more than 60% equity in their homes. That's phenomenal. Only 3% have negative equity. It's just not very many. And all they have to do is hold on long enough because the whole market is appreciating right now. So that's the conversation that we can be having is what is their neighborhood doing? How much is it appreciating locally and being that champion for them to go, here's where it starts to tip over. Here's what we could sell your house for today. Maybe go in and do an assessment on how they can upgrade their home or the very specific things that would give them the best curb appeal or the best value for their home and help them realize it that way. Maybe it's not a transaction. Maybe it's just you doing your best job and being the best version of yourself for all of your clients. Because the inventory continues to be a problem. So we've been in this negative inventory state for a long time. That one period of time, from the middle of 2018 to the middle of 2019, we were celebrating. I remember doing it, where we were tracking this positive inventory and everything was going to be good and we're going to see modest appreciation. I'd be happy with 2% appreciation. You know, I have 24 investments. I'd be happy with 2% appreciation on all of them. Because I only put 20% down on an asset worth 400, 500, 600,000, and that full amount is appreciating. That's the power of leverage, right? But we only had that inventory. Before that, I have to go all the way back to 3 months in 2015. I mean, come on. And before that was, of course, what we know, which was the excessive inventory that we had, no 6 through 08, and then we slowly worked our way through that, and we've been empty ever since. And the builders are continuing to try to pick up the pace, but they're just not able. So we saw that the starts and the permits came back to pre-COVID levels, right? If I look at it, we're on the same path again, but they're not keeping up. They're selling as quickly as they're coming out. They're being gobbled up. They're not allowed to create reserve inventory. Neither are we. We continue to see, at the end of last month, we had, 5,300 homes active inventory. I just went online this morning just to check out of giggles, the 11 county area. We have 5,100. So we're actually down. So our inventory continues to get gobbled up by all of this demand.
And that's a good place for a break. We'll be back in just a minute. Your home purchase has a long-term impact on your ability to build financial wealth. We at The Ruth Team will continue to be alongside you well beyond the closing date. Whether helping to refinance a loan, transitioning to your next home, or building multi-generational wealth through investments, we are committed to finding you solutions other lenders can't or simply won't. We look forward to helping you build wealth through real estate by generating passive income for a more financially secure future. Get started today by visiting theroofteam.com. That's theruethteam.com. Your resource for helping you build wealth through real estate. And let's continue the conversation.
If you look historically, that's the case. And in fact, it's that low inventory that continued to allow homes to appreciate during any kind of recessions, except for the last one where we had the excessive inventory. But look at how low we are compared to historical numbers. We're excessively low. So that's the thing where we have to continue to talk to our sellers. Because a big thing, especially even on sellers, the risk is going to hinge around interest rates. So let's talk about interest rates really quickly. So if you watch the news, it just came out this morning. I was shocked. It hit for the 10th time this year, because why not? The historically low interest rate. I mean, if I go back to before this year, The lowest interest rate was 2012, and we've hit it 10 times now. We're on this downward path. How low will it go? Well, I'll tell you this. It doesn't matter at this point. This is a historically low interest rate. I mean, it's ticking little bits, right? It's ticking from 2.84 to 2.81, and now it's another historical, or 2.82 to 2.81, and now it's another historical. Those numbers are moving very small, but they're creating these markers as we go down. But how much further can it go down is the question, right? And I'm going to show you that comparison of the 30-year interest rate to the 10-year, and let's take a look at that in just a second. But the opportunity is right now. These low interest rates, this is why we should be talking to all of our buyers, and they know because our buyer demand continues to be up. I don't know how loud you have to talk about this, but 22 weeks straight of increased demand. So just this week, we're 24% higher than we were last year in mortgage purchase applications. Now we're down like 1.6%. It doesn't look like it on this chart, because this is just tracking the year over year. But if I go week over week, we're down. But typically, let's talk about a normal year just for a second, right? I mean, when some will say that when 4th of July comes, and others will say when Labor Day comes, we start to see this drastic decline on the focus on housing, because people are turning in towards schools, towards the holidays, they're settling in, they're gonna wait until spring. I get that, that's our normal cycle, right? We have this, we know that this year's not normal. And now all of a sudden we're seeing this increase in demand as people are rethinking everything. We talked about it just a little while ago, what people are thinking about when they entered into COVID and how the home became more important. And now the holidays are upon them. And now what's most important. And remember, I'm not traveling. I can't go on a cruise for the holidays. I can't go out of the country. I can't go to Disney World, or I don't want to. Right. And there's all these things I can't spend money on. I can't go to the sporting events, and I can't go to the concerts. And all of a sudden, the things that people are spending money on is things like cars and RVs and boats and houses, right? They're spending money on houses, and that demand continues to be up. But the one thing that could impact those interest rates and pull back on demand is inflation. So inflation numbers came out this week, the CPI, the Fed's desired inflation number comes out later this month, the PCE. But for right now, the CPI was relatively flat. So what does that mean? That we're out of the woods and that the interest rates aren't going to go up? Well, interestingly enough, when you start to peel this back, cars were up, gas was mild, rents were slightly down, and there were other things that were down in the travel and hospitality and entertainment that muted the growth of inflation, right? And so when we see the PCE at the end of this month, we'll see how it's growing and is it getting close to that 2% average that the Federal Reserve Board is watching now. But as that inflation continues to go up, remember, the series of events is going to be, we're going to find a vaccine. People are going to feel confident that they can go back to the events and back to work. Consumer confidence is going to go up. Demand is going to start to spike before the supply can, because we already are seeing that manufacturing is already struggling with the supply. And if you're going to buy presents for Christmas, you might want to buy them now, because as we get closer and closer to having a vaccine and that demand going up, we're going to see tighter restraints on supply. So when we see that tighter restraints on supply, we're going to see the prices of goods to go up. That's going to cause that inflation. And that inflation is the arch enemy of mortgage interest rates. Our mortgage interest rates are going to go up. The other thing that's going to impact the mortgage interest rates is the Fed's purchasing of mortgage-backed securities and U.S. Treasuries. Right now, they're determined to keep rates low, and they want to keep rates low through 2022, so into the beginning of 2023. And that's what they've said, that they are going to keep the Fed rate at zero. But the Fed rate at zero doesn't mean anything, because the Fed rate at zero, we've had interest rates go from 3.5 to 4.875 while the Fed rate was zero. So that doesn't in and of itself. It's how they purchase and how much they purchase mortgage-backed securities and U.S. Treasuries. And right now, they're purchasing $120 billion a month. That's a lot. They're already planning on pulling that back. They're planning on cutting it almost in half to 80 next year, and they're planning on cutting it further back the following year to 23. So as they pull those purchases back, we'll start to see interest rates go up. That's going to impact all of us. It's going to impact refinances, right? And it's going to impact sellers, because think about this. And this is a cry to you to reach out to all of your sellers right now, because now is the time to sell for a couple reasons. One, I have a great opportunity to purchase with this low interest rate. But as those interest rates go up, I have less buyers because now those people that might have bought my home are going to be rate locked in the home that they're already in because they just refinanced at a 2.75 on a 15-year 2.25 interest rate, and they have tons of equity, and now they're thinking, I might not make that leap, right? Because I feel really safe right here. I've got a ton of equity, and I got this really low interest rate that I certainly can't beat. Unless you're talking to somebody like Ziana and I, and you're looking to purchase or refinance that as a primary home while you're still living in it, but you're going to convert it to an investment property so you can move again and move again and move again and build all that wealth. But for the typical person, that's going to cause a problem for the future seller. So anybody that's thinking about selling, especially if they're thinking about selling that higher end home, priced home, right now the buyers are willing to spend the money. The buyers are looking at the overall cost, and the overall cost is better gains than cost, right? Because now I've got two offices in a bigger backyard, and maybe I have an extra bedroom or two that I can't use, but I'll take that because the monthly payment is within my range. And I haven't been locked in because I haven't refinanced yet, or maybe I did, but the rates are still low, and I can still move while those rates are low. When we start seeing those rates tick up, it's going to shift. So we have to be aware of that. The one thing that might counterbalance this is the fact that a lot of lenders right now are going public. Now, I'm not talking about the big banks because they're already public, the Bank of America's and the Wells. Now I'm talking about the lenders because a couple of them talked about going public in 2015 and they didn't do it. But at the beginning of this year, rocket companies did. Now, all of a sudden, we've got this slew of lenders who are all going public. We've got United Wholesale Mortgage, Caliber, AmeriHome, Loan Depot, Better, and Finance of America. So you're like, why do I care? Here's why you care. So those lenders are going to go public and they're going to make a ton of money for the people that own them. The most money for the people at the top, right? But anybody that's got shares in those stocks are going to do extremely well. And they're saying it that they're going to raise that money so that they can improve their technology so they can go B2C. So they can go direct to the consumer. They don't need to go through you. They go directly to the consumer and they create these technologies much like a Quicken has today where they're selling leads back to you. Right? So they want to have the creative technology and they're going to have access. So they're going to go and they're going to sell to the stock market. When that happens, and they're doing through these SPACs, which is kind of an interesting situation because when you do a SPAC, you actually create a merger. So you take that company and you create it with a venture capitalist company and you create a merger and together they go IPO. And so now all of a sudden I have a new company with new financials. And so when the SEC does a background on my financials, it only goes back this year. It doesn't go back several years. So they can come to market a whole lot faster, right? So they're going to blow up the market, get a ton of money. Now a year from now, or even less, 6 months from now, whatever that timeline is, when the interest rates start to go up, all of a sudden, all those companies that have been focused on refinances and had more volume than they could even handle, because remember, they were turning away volume just a couple months ago, had more volume than they can handle, all of a sudden they're looking for volume. Because now those interest rates have started to go up, their volume has gone down, and they're going to be looking for opportunities to increase that volume to do what? To appease the shareholders, because now they have shareholders, not just employees. And they might be releasing some of those employees in turn for technology, right? So it's going to, what is that going to change on your consumer experience between you and your client? And they're also going to compress margins. So this is a thing that we need to watch because it might actually counteract what's happening with inflation. So right now there's a spread between the 30-year fixed rate and the 10-year treasury. And that spread is typically around 165 bips. It had gotten very big during this massive amount of risk that was happening in March and April, right? I mean, we just didn't know how many foreclosures we were going to have, how many delinquencies, what kind of loss were we going to absorb at the lender level. So this has gone way up. It kind of stayed up due to capacity because I don't have to drop it down because if I drop down the interest rates, I'm just going to get more volume and I don't need any more volume is what these massive lenders are saying because of their stress on their underwriters or processors. So they're keeping those numbers up. But if I have an IPO and now I have to adhere to my shareholders, I'm going to compress those margins and I'm going to get it back to the 165. And if I do that and that 10-year treasury is like, say it's at 0.8. Right now it's lower than that. It was starting to creep up and we were starting to see rates tick up again, started to come back down. Now it's like 0.68. But let's just say it's 0.8 because that's where things are headed, right? Where interest rates are going to go up next year. If it does, and I get back to 165, now I've got an interest rate of 2.45. So that could mean that rates actually go down or stay flat as inflation forces rates up, this compression forces them down, and we end up kind of in the same range. So very interesting that we're going to be watching this next year and see where rates go, but that's not a reason to stay or go. That is simply an addition to the conversation around your seller saying, okay, as these people get these low interest rates, regardless of if it even stays flat, most people are saying that we're going to see interest rates around 3. I look at Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, MBA, NAR. So it's going to go up. It's going to slightly tick down. It's going to stay around 3. Right now we got 2.5, 2.75, 2.875, whatever that number is, right? If you got locked in, then you're not going to sell. You're going to stay put. Right now, 77% of the mortgages are below 5%. 66% of the mortgages are below 4.5%. That is growing rapidly as more and more people are refinancing. And what's also happening is people are going to start aging in place because they're rate locked, because they have all that equity and that low interest rate, so they're just going to stay, right? So we have to think about, what is it that we're helping our clients build? I have a friend of mine, so Ivy Zelman, who some of these charts came from one of her presentations that she just gave, and she's a well-known housing economist, and she is quickly becoming a good friend. She had said that her husband called their current home his COVID palace, right? Because all of a sudden you're in your home all the time. So what is your COVID palace, right? How are you helping your clients find their COVID palace? What does their home look like and mean for them right now? Are you helping them get the home of their dreams? Or are they feeling locked into a situation that they don't want to be in? Because the alternative, if those sellers wait and they don't put their house on the market and they wait until at some point, right, when I finally determine that the appreciation is actually not going to decline, or there's not going to be more inventory, or the buyers are not going to slow down, whatever is going on in my head that's not actually happening, that's keeping me locked in place, if I don't take advantage of today, what I might end up finding is those opportune buyers for my current home are going to be rate locked, and they're going to lock me out of my COVID palace.
You've been listening to the Double Comma Club. Never miss an episode. Subscribe at thedoublecommaclub.com or your favorite podcast venue to hear more success stories. Get free tips on how you can get on the path to becoming a millionaire through real estate at any age. If you enjoyed this, you might also enjoy our YouTube channel. Just look for The Roof Team on YouTube or visit our site, theroofteam.com.